Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. As global temperatures continue to rise, so does the number of Americans willing to acknowledge the threat of slow apocalypse. A Monmouth University poll released Thursday found that about 8 in 10 Americans, including almost two-thirds of Republicans, believe that climate change is causing hotter heat waves and harsher storms. The Monmouth poll, if it reflects reality, suggests that the trend towards denial found by a Gallup poll in March is reversing. So, good bad news, you could say? This latest poll was conducted before the White House released the National Climate Assessment on Black Friday for maximum obscurity. But word did get out.
Government scientists saying climate-related threats to America's physical, social, and economic well-being are rising.
The report says extreme weather in the U.S. just in the past 3 years has cost nearly $400 billion.
Stronger hurricanes and more frequent flooding. For the Midwest, an agricultural catastrophe. Extreme heat destroying crops.
This was the fourth congressionally mandated national climate assessment, 1,600 pages derived from the collective expertise of 13 government agencies. I'm no scientist, but it sounds pretty scary. Scarier still, after the self-described very good brain in the White House reacted with four of his very best words.
Yeah, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it.
That refusal to believe is backed up in many precincts by vast ice flows of oil industry cash. Lisa Hymas, director of the Climate and Energy Program at Media Matters for America, watched TV's broken, bifurcated coverage of the National Climate Assessment. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So the National Climate Assessment dropped on Black Friday.
It looked like a pathetically blatant attempt by the Trump administration to keep it out of the public eye. But it didn't work. A lot of the print media did better than TV. The New York Times and the Washington Post, they have really strong climate teams. They did great coverage. But you saw it in smaller papers all around the country. The Columbia Journalism Review found that at least 140 newspapers around the country put it on their front pages. That includes places like the Chicago Tribune and the Miami Herald, 20 different papers in California. And many of those papers also looked at the local impacts. The Portland Press Herald in Maine, they had a big story about the national implications, but they also, on their print front page, had a big story about the impacts in New England specifically. But I think TV was a mixed bag. Sometimes the coverage was good and sometimes it was not. And in cases where the coverage is poor, we probably would have been better off without it.
You said that Sunday was the first time this year that the five major Sunday shows discussed climate change on the same day. We're talking about ABC's This Week, CBS's Face the Nation, CNN's State of the Union, Fox News Sunday, and NBC's Meet the Press. They all had segments. The most talked about one on Sunday was probably on Meet the Press.
Yes. NBC's Meet the Press featured Danielle Pletka of the American Enterprise Institute, a conservative think tank that's supported by the Koch brothers. She used a favorite climate denier line.
I'm not a scientist. I look at this as a citizen, and I see it, so I understand it. On the other hand, we need to also recognize that we just had two of the coldest years, the biggest drop in global temperatures that we've had since the 1980s, the biggest in the last 100 years. We don't talk about that because it's not part of the agenda.
No, climate scientists have been very clear that the global climate has consistently been warming, and the hottest years have been the most recent ones.
Yeah. NOAA said that 2015, 16, and 17 were the warmest on record, but 2017 was only the third warmest.
I don't really find that comforting. You know, if you're not a scientist, you ought to listen to scientists. To say, I'm not a scientist, but I don't believe this, that's nonsense. I mean, one thing that was frustrating about this last episode of Meet the Press, host Chuck Todd later in the same show interviewed Tom Steyer, who got his start as an activist by focusing on climate change, and Todd didn't ask him anything about the report. The focus was just on the 2020 presidential race.
Let's look at how Fox News handled the report on the day it was released. Here's CNN's Brian Stelter with a recap.
The network actually spent more time talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's shoes on Friday. Now, to be fair, the network's newscast did air several segments about climate change, about the crisis, on Saturday. But on the president's favorite talk shows, not a word.
Meanwhile, Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace also did not invite a climate scientist on to discuss the report. He spoke with Republican Senator of Nebraska Ben Sasse, who dodged the topic of climate action and spoke vaguely about the need for innovation.
Because you can't legislate or regulate your way into the past. We have to innovate our way into the future. And right now, you don't hear a lot of the people who put climate as their number one issue. You don't hear a lot of them offering constructive, innovative solutions for the future. It's usually just a lot of alarmism.
You know, notably, Fox's big name personalities didn't dig in on the report at all. They just stayed focused on their pet issues. Mm-hmm. So you had Sean Hannity this past week ranting about Hillary Clinton's supposed scandals and crimes. I mean, he's still doing that more than 2 years after she lost the presidential election. And you had Lou Dobbs scaremongering about the migrant caravan and the Russia investigation as a witch hunt. That got a lot of coverage this past week, but the climate report didn't.
Margaret Brennan of CBS's Face the Nation did speak to a scientist about the report, NASA's Stephen Clark. But that exchange was very brief, and it was buried in a segment that was almost entirely about NASA's Mars probe.
Yes. So on the one hand, I was glad to see that Face the Nation actually asked a scientist about the climate report. We track how often the Sunday shows incorporate or talk to scientists when they're discussing climate change. And it's been almost 3 years since any Sunday show has asked a scientist about climate change.
What?
Yes.
Seriously?
The last time was in December of 2015. It was also on Face the Nation.
So many opportunities, so many national conferences, so many elections, so many extreme weather incidents, and nothing?
There are climate scientists who are really good public speakers and who do a great job of explaining the science in terms that normal people can understand, but they don't get the airtime.
I think the winner of the week's booby prize, though, would probably be CNN.
I think that's true. Rick Santorum was on CNN claiming scientists are in it for the money.
If there was no climate change, we'd have a lot of scientists looking for work. The reality is that a lot of these scientists are driven by the money that they receive.
The next day, we saw Tom DeLay, the former House Majority Leader.
The report is nothing more than a rehash of age-old 10 to 20-year assumptions made by scientists that get paid to further the politics of global warming.
He's the disgraced former House Majority Leader who had to resign after he was convicted of money laundering and conspiracy. Why is this guy qualified to discuss a scientific report about climate change? We saw Stephen Moore, a Trump-loving economist, making the same ridiculous claim on CNN.
Billions and billions and billions of dollars at stake. A lot of people are getting really, really, really rich off the climate change issue.
Then on Tuesday morning, John Avalon did a good segment on CNN where he completely debunked this notion that there's a big climate industrial complex and that scientists are just doing it to get rich.
Now, that talking point you're hearing is a classic bit of distraction and deflection. In fact, one of the scientists who worked on the climate change report, Catherine Hayhoe, confirms that she and her colleagues were paid, quote, $0 for their work. They could easily make 10 times their salaries by working for something like Big Oil.
But later that same day, on Tuesday, just hours after Avalon's fact-checking segment ran, CNN again had on Stephen Moore to make that same claim. And what was so frustrating about CNN having these climate deniers on to make ridiculous claims is they didn't disclose the fact that Rick Santorum and Tom DeLay, when they were in Congress, they got more than $700,000 each from the oil and gas industry in campaign contributions. Stephen Moore works for a number of groups that are funded by the Koch brothers. Last month, Stephen Moore gave a speech to the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Association. These things were not disclosed, but those men were allowed to accuse scientists of being in it for the money.
Why does CNN pay people like Rick Santorum to lie to the public it's supposed to be serving?
I will never understand why CNN pays Rick Santorum. Cable TV likes to have conflict, and they like to have sparks fly. But there are much better ways where you can do it, even if you do want the conflict. I mean, it's absurd in 2018 for a discussion about climate change to include someone who contends that we're actually in a period of global cooling. Get people who all recognize the challenge of climate change, but propose different responses and solutions to it. There are plenty of conservatives who propose carbon taxes. Let's see them discuss and debate people who are proposing a highly progressive Green New Deal or a carbon fee and dividend approach. There's a lot to debate. It just doesn't have to be a denier against someone who accepts the reality of climate change.
Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Lisa Hymas is the director of the Climate and Energy Program at Media Matters for America.
Coming up, more theaters in the war over reality. Next stop, a place we haven't been for a while.
Fox News in the post-Ailes era.
This is On the Media.